Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the deep dive. It is me, and it is the one, the only, the man, the legend that is Mr. Analytics himself, Mr. Josh Williams.
Start again, please.
No fucking way. We're here to look at Liverpool's 3-2-5 formation. We're here to discuss Trent Alexander-Arnold. We did it last week. We're going to do it again. We've got more of a sample size, and we're going to talk about what that means for Liverpool's transfer strategy moving forward. So without further ado, the one, the only, the Mr. Legendary Josh Williams, I think I said it better the first time, is going to talk us through... I suppose, first of all, we've got to start with the 4-3-3 formation, haven't we? So we kind of knew what Liverpool were, the profile of player that Liverpool were looking at in a 4-3-3 formation. So if you talk us through that first, I suppose, mate.
Yeah, well, it's obviously a big summer, isn't it, for Klopp? In terms of the front three, I think we're pretty much done in attack. So we don't specifically need to talk about those profiles.
You never know with Jürgen, though.
That's true, you never know with Jürgen.
Thought we needed a midfielder in January, but we got another attacker.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Imagine if he goes and signs two more.
I know. But we have got a lot of players who are well-stocked in attack, aren't we? So I think they're all right. But going into this summer, we know we need a completely new midfield, really. And we potentially need a Tsimikas replacement if he's sold. Potentially need some form of centre-half if... Matip leaves and Philip leaves and things like that. But we thought we knew exactly what to expect, specifically from the midfield and from the fullback. Start with the fullback. Robertson, Trent, Tsimikas, now Calvin Ramsey, I suppose. Very offensive, up and down the flanks all day. Attacking returns, assists, things like that. That's what we thought that you need to be a Liverpool fullback. And in terms of the centre mids, it's relentlessly covering those fullbacks all day, really. Safety net, regaining the ball, discipline, shouting at your teammates, English, workhorse, all that stuff, all them standard stuff that we've seen associated with Liverpool midfielders over the past like 5 years is what we've thought to expect going into the summer window. And I think we did a recent episode, didn't we, on like transfer business, and it was based on those profiles, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's it, isn't it? You think Trent Alexander-Arnold moves up here. In days gone by, someone would slot in over here. Yeah. Normally the right side, the centre midfielder. Equally, Robertson moves forwards and you've got someone slotting in, a Gini Alvin back in the day over on that side. And I think when we did that show you referenced just a few weeks ago, you're looking at it and going, well, Trent's playing right back and Andy Robertson's playing left back. So is Fabinho good enough was the question we were asking ourselves to be able to do this role that we've seen from a Liverpool number six in his time at the club?
Yeah.
And are the eights good enough to be able to not only go that way, but go this way and this way as well at the same time? And exactly the same. I think Thiago's role's kind of changed the left-hand side a little bit.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Wijnaldum did go a little bit further forward, but Thiago sometimes would maybe make it a little bit more like that. And a base of a two and sort of pull the string. So you could go back to the Gini Wijnaldum mould or you could stick with the Thiago mould and have someone like pulling the strings there.
Yeah.
We always kind of knew what to expect from the front three. So in my head, 3 weeks ago when we did that show or whatever it was, I'm like, Sant, we need three midfielders and I know exactly the types of player that we need.
Yeah.
Now, I'm clueless.
Yeah, well, in my head, I've been thinking we need like defensive monsters in the centre. Like I've liked the idea of Casado joining from Brighton. There's a lad called Manuel Ugarte from Sporting. He's an absolute workhorse in terms of covering ground and pressing and things like that. That's the kind of player that I thought we needed. Potentially a controller here, as you say. When Fabinho tucks over, Thiago sometimes does that. Henderson or Elliot does that. Maybe a little bit of a number 10 type vibe going on there. But this is what we thought that we wanted in terms of the summer. Planning ahead, picking out targets and things like that. Obviously 2 weeks ago we changed formation quite drastically, really. It's still 4-3-3 on the defensive side for the most part. But with the ball, Liverpool basically do this. Fabinho moves over. Trent joins him in the centre. Canati shuffles over. Virgil shuffles over. And Robertson shuffles over. And as a result of these two in the centre, occupying deeper midfield, these two lads go like that. And you've got your box. Oh, you're a big fan of the box, aren't you?
Love it, mate. Love to get in and out of the box.
Yeah. Football, yeah.
Yeah, football, yeah. That's what happens, isn't it? You know, you get out of the box like that, okay?
Yeah, that's anyone? It, yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of what we're dealing with at the minute in terms of Liverpool in possession. And this massively impacts transfer business. Because if we do replace Tsimikas, sorry, if we do sell Tsimikas, we now need a left-sided fullback who is not so much doing this. Oh, that's good, isn't it?
Not for me. Not for you, to be fair. His battery's running low. Yeah, it's but it's okay. Yeah, we don't want someone who's going to be bombing up and down. We want someone to tuck in a little bit more, like Nathan Ake's been doing for Manchester City. So maybe more of a profile of a centre-back rather than the profile of a left-back.
Yeah, Nathan Ake's a good example. I think Joe Gomez is a good example on the opposite side. If Joe Gomez was left-footed, he'd be ideal for this. John Stones is doing it a little bit. Ben White was doing it for Arsenal. So that would massively change who we need in terms of a left-back. And in terms of centre-mids, I think the six maybe remains pretty much the same, apart from the fact he might be occupied with a teammate in the middle. But in terms of the eight specifically, it massively impacts the team. Because rather than getting a player who's going to cover full-backs and offer a bit of a safety net, you're asking your eight now to basically form a bank of five in the final third. They've got to be comfortable in tight spaces. They've got to be threatening on the ball, really technical. And that completely changes the type of, like, for example, I've just mentioned Casado. If we was to get Casado now, there's no way I can see him forming part of the five. No. For me, he'd be in the two. That then takes Fabinho out of the team. And it keeps Henderson in the team as one of the bank of five, which is maybe a bit weird. I think Jones is generally well suited to it.
Yeah, I think he's looked good in the last couple of games. And it's interesting because, you know, is it a case of, listen, you're playing for this starting share, Kurt, or is it a case of we want to see whether you can back up the position if we buy someone for it? It could be a little bit of both moving into next season. The thing that I find really interesting about this is, first off, I think Trent Alexander-Arnold, you know, he's going to be doing that role from now until the end of the season, I think. So we've got Fabinho who's going to be playing alongside him. When I look at these two positions here specifically, obviously the two teams that are playing this sort of box midfield at the moment and have been playing it for large parts of the season, you've got Martin Odegaard and you've got Granit Xhaka. And Granit Xhaka is actually very good at getting in between the fullbacks from that role. Mm. I know the guard sort of plays the 10 and plays those lovely little balls in and around. And for Manchester City, you've got Kevin De Bruyne and they've got Gundogan over there. And Gundogan as well is very good at getting in and getting goals.
Yeah.
And Kevin De Bruyne is the lad who's pulling the strings from those positions, much like Odegaard, different footed, of course. But and he to be fair to Kevin De Bruyne, it's not quite the same because he moves all over.
Yeah.
He's got that freedom, hasn't he? Now, when I think of Liverpool, we've spoken loads of times over the last few weeks about Harvey Elliott in this position. It does, I think, for a profile player, it suits Harvey Elliott. Do we have this guy who can get in? Well, Kurt Jones has shown me he can do it.
Yeah.
But do we want someone who's better than Kurt Jones, and can we get someone who's better than Kurt Jones? And I think the answer to both of those questions is yes. We probably do want someone who's better, and yes, we can definitely get someone who's better than Kurt Jones. Can we get someone who's better than Harvey Elliott right now? I think the answer to that is also yes, with a view to him maybe being ready in a couple of years, maybe not, maybe he makes a big step up next season when the formation suits him, etc., etc. But what I'm trying to get at is Henderson for us has been the one that's been doing that. Mm. And Kurt Jones was a little bit more of the creator in the last couple of games, because you see from the draw against Arsenal, Kurt Jones is out here with this sort of pre-assist type of thing, isn't he? And then he flicks the ball and Henderson's in the middle of the box and gets a touch on it for Mo Salah, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Do we have those players at the football club right now? No. Are we getting linked with players that are of a similar ilk to the players that I've just mentioned to do those roles?
We are, yeah. A lot of the links are these kind of players, to be honest. And that suggests that even though we've only just moved towards this 3-2-5 system, maybe Klopp's kind of had it earmarked as a thing for the past like 6 months or so, and he's only recently trying it out of necessity almost. Mm-hmm. But it does suit the kind of players that we've been linked with. Obviously, we're losing Naby, we're losing Ox, potentially losing Milner. And that would allow us to get in eight that are basically offensive-minded rather than players who are gonna cover down here. You've basically got your back five there and your front five there in terms of players ahead of the ball and behind the ball. And as you said, I think Harvey Elliott is a really good player for this. I think Curtis Jones is a good player for this. But in terms of like starting 11 every week, challenging for the Premier League title, maybe... maybe they're not there yet. I think they can play a fair few minutes, though. But in terms of like De Bruyne levels, Odegaard levels, maybe you want a different kind of player. We should probably bring in the screen grab as well, just to maybe capture like what we're on about here. So we'll do that now. Obviously, you can see Trent coming in from the right-hand side to form this box in the middle. I will say that Gakpo in this moment is forming the box. Jones is a little tiny bit deeper, but imagine Gakpo is a bit higher up and Jones is where Gakpo is.
Do you know what the first thing I thought when I saw this was, is there a potential for another wrinkle in this system? Because what it got me thinking is, okay, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Fabinho, Jordan Henderson, Kurt Jones currently, can you rotate that around to just get ask another question mark? And that's actually shown in there. So Kurt Jones move out to the left, the position that he's grown up with. Gakpo comes into the sort of 10 position, a position from the false nine, which is not difficult for him. And Jota comes out from the left to go centre forward, which again might just be another wrinkle for what we do. And equally, let's think about it the other way. Right, go again. Trent Alexander-Arnold, Fabinho, let's say it's Harvey Elliott this time, and Mete Kitchens or whatever, right? Can you do it again? Can everybody shift across? So you've got Gakpo, who's dropped in. You've got Moshel centre-forward. You've got Harvey Elliott out wide. And you've got maybe Kurt Jones, who would probably stay that side, to be fair.
Yeah.
As a thing. And there we get the movement of what we used to do with the 4-3-3, where everyone's switching positions, but actually we're always keeping that box midfield. And I wonder whether that's something that we might see a little bit further down the line, because you want Salah in front of goal, you want Jota in front of goal, and Gakpo is the man, just like Bobby Firmino was the man for years, at getting out of the way and creating that space, and it's just a shift. In the same way the defence is shifting, the attack could do it at exactly the same time.
Yeah, well, another idea that we could potentially look at, that you've just kind of planted the seed in there a little bit, is let's imagine this was Darwin. If that's Nunes there...
He's just missed.
Obviously, yeah. If that's Nunes there, though, he's got a box behind him in terms of a midfield that's going to construct moves for him. There's a bit less of an emphasis for him to do that.
Yep.
He can stay away from the ball, and potentially you can have Gakpo there as one of like the... 8/10s when we've got possession. He did play a bit of a thing like that, didn't he, recently when we did the 4-2-2-2 episode. So I think Gakpo could potentially do that, actually. Maybe you've got like an Elliott or a Henderson there. Then out wide here, you've got a Luis Diaz. And over here, you've got a Salah. And then on the bench, maybe a Jota or something like that.
Well, it works as well. I think anybody who's looking for a real-world example just has to look at Manchester City for this.
Yeah.
Because the real-world example is they ignore Haaland until he's in the 6-yard box, yeah, essentially. And then he has one touch and the ball's in the back of the net.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we want to be able to do with Darwin Nunes in exactly the same way, isn't it? So I do think that both Gakpo can work in that. And I do think that Darwin Nunes can work in that position as well.
Yeah.
Both completely different profile of player. But with this system, I think we could get the best out of both of them and we could play a little bit more horses for courses.
Yeah. But I think if you think of Liverpool's usual system, move him over there for a sec. If you're going with the 4-3-3 like that...
Hang on a minute. Why did you move Harvey Elliott to right back?
We're just dealing with counters here. These are invading men. But if
you... No, that was Harvey Elliott. I switched that around.
Okay, are we doing that?
I don't know where it was.
At least they're not green anyway.
Yeah.
So if you look at some of the players Liverpool have been linked with based on that system, just off the top of my head, I've listed a few of them. Matthias Nunes, Alexis McAllister, Mason Mount.
You sure it's off the top of your head? It looks like you're reading from the screen.
Well, I listed these off the top of my head onto the screen. Okay, so right, I did write them down. Like Ryan Gravenberch as well is another one recently. Maybe we can do an episode on him
in the next
couple of weeks or something. But yeah, they're players that are, like, in my opinion, very offensive-minded midfielders, despite the fact that this season Liverpool have been horrendous without the ball. So I've been looking at those links and thinking, they're good players, don't get me wrong, but like, they don't address Liverpool's key concern. If we move, can I do this? Yeah.
Yeah. Trent, as long as it's Trent.
If we do this,
I'll move the centre halves. I'm relegated to just moving the three counters at the back at this point.
If we do this now, and you can imagine these players is Matthias Nunes, Gravenberch, Mount, McAllister. It looks a lot more like it makes a lot more sense to me. Those profiles look a lot more suited to those players.
The Gravenberch one's interesting. Do you see him? I mean, a lot of people have sort of undecided on where he would play in terms of would he be one of these guys or would he be one of these? Are you confident that he's one of these guys?
I think I am, yeah. I think he could possibly play both, possibly. But I think towards the back end of his career at Ajax, he was playing a bit higher. Anyone who's watched him, he's very, very technical, kind of glides across the pitch. He's a bit like, when he's running with the ball, he reminds me a bit of, Eze.
Palace.
Crystal Palace, he's a bit like that, mate, in terms of the way he carries the ball and things like that. Likes to carry it over large distances, a bit like Curtis Jones with that. So I can see him in the front bank of five.
Okay.
And obviously, that would then impact Liverpool's left-back targets. One of the players we've been linked with for left-backs, although it did recently get, like, debunked, is Ndika from Frankfurt. I think he's out of contract this summer. Funnily enough, he has played as a left back and a left sided centre half, so he would suit the bill. Guardiola is another one at Leipzig, but he's A, not for sale as someone according to Leipzig, and B, would cost an awful lot. But then he is a boyhood red. We do need a player exactly like that.
Well, he's left footed as well, isn't exactly, he? So, can play that left back role, can play that left sided centre half role. I think the Guardiola one is, you know, if you've got unlimited funds, I think he might be your first choice at this point. One thing I wanted to ask you, Josh, because it's not been mentioned, and I don't know whether this is just me or what, but I always find that the left sided centre half, I think, is one of the most important positions on the field.
Mm.
I always like it when it's a left footer, to be honest.
Yeah.
Nobody's mentioned Virgil doing it, and I don't know why. Is it just because he's this talismanic centre half that you think it's almost like a relegation to put him there? Because let me think out loud a little bit here. Joe Matip, I think, could do that role.
Mm.
I don't think Joe Matip could do this role because I don't think he's fast enough. I think Joe Gomez or Canate can do that role, but I don't think Matip does it.
Mm.
I do think Matip can do this one, and I do think Virgil could do either. Is there a reason nobody's talking about that and maybe finding someone who's maybe a bit better at that?
Well, I think first off, whenever Van Dijk does play in a back three, usually international duty, he does play as the central man.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not used to playing on the left of the three for the start. And then secondly, when Liverpool are in the 4-3-3 shape, that would mean Van Dijk situationally plays as a left back, and you would never want that. That's something I'd never want to see, really.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a top defender, obviously, but in terms of playing as a fullback at times, no chance. I'd rather Joe Gomez out there, I think.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But another player who potentially fits the bill, just like randomly off the top of my head is Lloyd Kelly. Now, I don't think he's Liverpool quality, but we were linked with him a few years back when he was at, I think it was Bristol City. He's since gone to Bournemouth, who could get relegated. He's homegrown, he's English. I think if he's not captain of Bournemouth, he has captained them a few times because I've seen him wear the armband. And he can do the left-sided centre-back, left-back kind of role pretty well. There's not that many players out there who can do it to a really high level. That's why they're quite valuable when they do come around, especially these left-footers. But if Liverpool can kind of... Like, one thing I've thought about in terms of funding a bit more of an expensive move for like a Guardiola is, because of what we're doing here, if we were to sell Matip, Phillips and Tsimikas, we could technically replace all three of those with one player. Mm-hmm. If we get a player who can do this, because you'll have a player then who can play as a backup left-back or as a
centre-half,
yeah. So maybe, I don't know how much they'd raise. But
I suppose the next question for you then, mate, is why does no one think Andy Robertson can do this?
Well, I think so far, I just think he's done so far. I think he's done okay. Fine.
And well, yeah. For a start, he was able to get up the pitch from it and, you know, get an assist. No, he was the one who played it into Gakpo, wasn't he? Then played it to Mohamed Salah. But the thing is, I think the on vogue sort of thing is to put a centre half there.
Mm.
But if your defenders, Andy Robertson for me has no question marks about his defending.
No, same, yeah.
I think his defending's absolutely brilliant. And what you're saying is when we're defending anyway, we're doing that.
Yeah.
So.
No, if you were to say to me now, the whole of next season, Robertson will play that role and he's tucked in as a back three, I'd be like, okay, sound. That's what I'm expecting anyway, to be honest. I mean more of a Tsimikas replacement. I think we'd get in if we're sticking with this.
But if you get Guardiola in, there is no space for Andy Robertson.
True, yeah. Then he would probably drop to the bench, which I don't know how much, but I don't want to see that, to be honest, thinking about it. Because it is nice that, even though we can tuck in as a centre-half, it is nice he can still come and do this, you know, when he's needed.
You just got to be so quick and on it with in terms of what Trent Alexander-Arnold's doing.
Yeah.
Because he somebody needs to, if he goes, somebody else needs to tuck in. And it might be that actually the easiest thing to do is the player that he runs past drops in.
Yeah.
But then somebody else has probably got to come back as well. So it's just, I've got confused. it's just one of them, isn't it? Like, yeah. I think Andy Robertson can do it.
Yeah.
And I think it might be next year, to be honest.
Possibly.
I think you're probably right. I think as a backup, having someone who's going to do centre-half and left-back makes perfect sense, especially with Liverpool, with the way that the money's going and all that type of stuff, and, you know, the potential of no European football. That could be a difficult thing to have to do as well when you've got a lad there who I think can do the job.
Mm. I think the only question mark on his shoulders is probably the physicality side of things. He's not built like a centre-half, is he? I think he has played there a few times for Scotland, though, when Kieran Tierney's also been fit. I think one of them sometimes plays as the wing-back, and the other one plays as the wide centre-half, and I think it's usually Robertson, but I might be wrong in saying
again,
that.
Again, like, when you defend 4-3-3, it doesn't really matter what physically, if you're not a centre-half, does it? It's in possession, and in possession, Andy Robertson's a good ball player, so you'd fancy him out there.
But Liverpool have a real question mark now, though. In terms of this system, if this is going to stick and we're going to use this next season, it does dramatically change, specifically the centre mids, in terms of the eights at least, that you're looking at. For me, it does anyway. You're looking more at like attacking mids who are going to be good in the final. Another player who I haven't mentioned is Dani Olmo, who plays for Leipzig. I think he's well suited to this. He's got the pressing background because he's been at a Red Bull club for the past few years. But it really does change who Liverpool are looking at, for me at least. But it just depends whether this is temporary or if this is like a long-term blueprint for Liverpool to use.
I think it might be. And I think one of the things that we spoke about maybe last week or the week before was like, if Liverpool were to do this, do you really want to be third terms of doing it? And I think the one thing that I've sort of realised, and it was something Paul mentioned to me on the watch along, is you might be third, but if you've got the best ball player in that position, it might not matter if you're third to come to it. And I think in Trent Alexander-Arnold, we've got the best technical player because he's better than John Stones. He's better than Zinchenko with the ball at his feet. So it might not matter so much because we're actually getting the best out of one of our absolute playmakers. Is there anything else you wanted to discuss? I've got something I'm going to throw in at the end that I've not told you about.
Well, I was going to say then, if you've got the, you know, we've got the best right-sided you know, inverted player tucking inside. I also think if you think you've potentially got the best bank of five in the final third, you'll also do a lot of damage, obviously. Like, if we've got Salah there, say, I don't know, Darwin there, Gakpo, Diaz, possibly Mount. That's a serious front five that is going to challenge for the league. You know, that's competing with City comfortably, and it's up to, I mean, Arsenal have got Xhaka, Odegaard, Jesus, Martinelli, Saka. That's a serious front five as well, but that would take Liverpool up levels, that.
Yeah, and we're saying? Not getting carried away after the game and a half, but we absolutely are getting carried away after the game and a half. The one thing that I wanted to throw in there, before I do come to this, you're not seeing it.
Okay.
Nah, you can't.
Another careful.
You can see it. Before I do, though, we are leading directly into the second deep dive show of the week. We do two every single week after this final segment. The second one is on why Liverpool needs European football. Partly it's to fund this, but we're going to take a deep dive into that, into the finances and the differences in finances of what you get when you play Champions League football compared to Europa League. And we'll talk a tiny little bit about the Conference League because I don't really understand it. That's not that I don't understand it, it's just I don't care to understand it. I've not tried to understand it. I've tried to avoid it, to be perfectly honest with you. So that'll be on Red Men Plus. The code is DEEP. When you sign up as a club captain on the monthly subscription, you'll get 50% off for the first 3 months. Take advantage of the code now, because we will be wrapping that code up and there won't be any more codes after that. So DEEP is the code. Redmenplus.com is the website. The Deep Dive is the show, of course. So one of our YouTube watches from last week messaged us, and I thought it was a brilliant comment, to be honest. So it was Killer Dark. Thank you for the comment. Hi, Chris and Josh. I'm coming back to this after the Leeds game when Trent played the full game as the inverted fullback, and just wanted to share what I'd noticed. I think the biggest advantage to the box midfield is the build-up, and the biggest beneficiary is Hendo. I feel one of our issues this season is our inability to play out from the back and effectively get into our usual shape where we pin the opposition in their box. That's why we keep losing the ball during transition, trying risky passes or just losing the ball because we're failing to build up. Hendo, with all his qualities, isn't comfortable receiving the ball in tight spaces or half turn and tends to not want to do it. Also evident in the fact he almost never wants to receive the ball from throw-ins. He also doesn't like dribbling or trying to beat a man like Thiago to open up a passing route. He's best at first-touch passes where he spots a run and loops the ball around or over the defence straight into the front line. Usually this isn't a problem because we have Firmino and Sadio who are insanely good at helping during build-up because they can drop deep to shield, turn and hold up the ball, but we didn't have that this season. We usually end up going sideways or waiting for an eventual outlet that opens up. Having Trent come in as effectively a second six increases our pass routes, pushes Hendo further up and wider where it's safer to either lose the ball or try risky passes, as well as his pressing ability if we do lose the ball. Yes, Trent is crazy good at passing the ball, and he was brilliant for the one and a half game he's played inverted, but I think that's a bonus we've stumbled upon while solving our build-up problem. It just seemed much easier to get the ball back or press when we're in our usual shape, where we cage the opponents in their half, as well as counter-pressing when the opponents start to attack. I would love for your two's opinion on this, whether I'm right or wrong. Love the analysis-type videos. Thank you for the taking time to write that, by the way. Yeah. That must have taken you a day. So well done, you. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's got a point. I think in terms of like the way the system works, obviously there's your build up there. That's what we were talking about last week with Thiago. You want Thiago in that five, not in this five. So if you're in this five, you are kind of away from the build up. And I think specifically it's benefited Henderson when it comes to like pressing. Essentially, if you're in this front five, you do have license to go and press, put pressure on the ball. You're already high up.
He can
the pitch.
Lead it as well, can't he? Yeah. He can speak to those guys because he's closer to them.
Yeah, you're already high up the pitch anyway. I still think though in these areas, there's still an emphasis on your shoulders to like keep the ball in tight spaces and link and find the penalty box with passes. So I think no matter what, he does have to be a bit more technical than he maybe is in certain situations, which is why someone like a Mount or just a more technical, like a McAllister or something like that, would be better suited now. I think Henderson's at a point now where we can use him as a pressing monster and an experienced like leadership figure when we maybe need to see out games or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But stylistically, yeah, I can understand in terms of getting him away from the build-up and allowing him to focus on pressing, I think, up here. And maybe penetrating the box and things like that. What about you?
So I'll pick up something slightly different from Killer Dark's thing, and it was he sort of alludes to the fact that he believes it was because of the build-up. What I will say to that is I do think you're probably incorrect on that, with the greatest of respect, only judging it on what Jürgen Klopp said in his post-match press conference after the win against Leeds, where he said he was asked specifically by Jamie Carragher on Sky Sports whether he moved Trent in there to get him on the ball more or to provide defensive stability and help Fabinho out. And the way that Klopp answered that at the time was a bit of both,
yeah.
But he said stability is the most important thing in football. You can't have stability in any football team if you don't defend well.
Yeah.
And I think if Jürgen Klopp's mantra is we've got to defend well to be able to do everything else right, then the reason probably isn't build-up. It was probably defensive stability. With the added bonus, and this is I think where you're right, is he'll have considered all things here, that build-up will be affected and all that type of stuff. But I think if you asked him for his number one reason, stability and making sure we don't concede was probably his number one reason for this.
Yeah, and I think a few people recently have been a bit like, maybe a bit confused at the front three he's been selected in particular, with Jota starting ahead of Nunes, for example. And I think one of the things he said before the game was kind of like something like the forward players kind of have to understand that defending is the first and foremost thing and everything else comes secondary. And I think although Nunes is, you know, a chance magnet, massive threat and things like that, I don't think his defensive game yet is on the level of a Gakpo or a Jota. I think Jota was described when he first came in as a pressing monster. So it's a nice looking shape, isn't it? It's very offensive, it's very attack-minded, but also I think the bottom line probably is just he wants Liverpool to get more control over the game.
And I think the perfect example of what you're talking about with this man here, Diogo Jota, or this red counter, is that he wins the ball and gets an assist. He wins the ball on the edge of the box and we end up getting a goal.
Yeah,
and I think I would ask everybody, and I've said this on the show already this week, As much as I like Darwin Nunes, I cannot see Darwin Nunes winning the ball here and if we're going and scoring a goal, I can't see him winning the ball in the middle of the park and getting an assist. Hmm. It's just not his game. He's the tip of the spear, I think, for me. Or get him out in space type of thing and hit the ball to him and see what he can create. So there you go. That's been this week's deep dive, Josh. Really enjoyed that. Really interesting stuff once again. If you do want to follow us over on Red Men Plus, then get over there and use that code DEEP. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you, Killer Dark, for the killer comment. And we'll see you all next Friday.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right, because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1, only from Rust-Oleum. Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.